Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. On demand. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. Mornings suddenly got more intense. Let's go! This is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning. It is Brady and Walker at 8:04. Make sure you stay tuned. Coming up after 8:40, we will have some words for you, our listeners, and a little bit of news on exactly what is happening with us in case you were not privy to it yet.
Random words, yelling. Might throw a stat or two in there.
So the Toronto Raptors host the Golden State Warriors tonight. Now, this is the eighth and final game on this string of eight in a row where they play playoff teams. They're 4-3. They won their first four. They lost their last three. So at the end of the day, I guess you do take it as Golden State comes to town tonight.
And they get a Golden State team. They limited great defense by the Cavs last night. Kyrie Irving's not often complimented for being great defensively. Neither is J.R. Smith at times, but they limited Steph Curry to shooting 5 of 17, 18 points. Golden State, on a rare night, didn't hit 100 points. We're very pleased to welcome in the general manager of the Toronto Raptors. He's joining us from, I believe, Boston, Massachusetts, as well as was Dallas Aikens, Masai Ujiri. Am I right? You're at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, yeah?
No, actually, I'm heading there tonight, but we have a board meeting today, so I couldn't skip that one.
I got you loud and clear. A little bit scenario, Masai, similar to the Clippers game. I'll ask you, scheduling's tough in the NBA. There's some losses you might even look at on the schedule as a GM and go, well, this is going to be tough for our team, or we're getting this team on their fifth and seven nights at the end of a trip. When you play a team back-to-back and a team like GSW that goes in last night and has a tough opponent, is that often just better for you? I know the players don't think that way about it, but do you have to sort of analyze it that way and think, we'd rather have them playing the night before, yeah?
Yes, you would, but I think in the NBA, I don't think it matters, they have their mindset too, I'm sure they are thinking, we're going to go into these two games and we hope to come out with one, and they didn't come out with one yesterday. So, they're coming all out tonight, so the mindsets are sometimes different teams. But all NBA guys, they're going to win the games, and regardless of when you're tired or off a back-to-back, that's the 82-game season. Larry Bird said it, I think, when he checks his schedule, it's 41 games at home, 41 games away, and that's all he cares about. No, and everybody go play, So I'm the same way, too. I understand, there are times when we're tired, and you can tell with our team sometimes. But at the end of the day, it's done the same way with every team.
Is it difficult sometimes for you to not be reactionary like, say, us fans or us media are? And the last couple of weeks is a prime example of that. You win four in a row against really good teams, and you're watching this team from afar, and you think, hey, you're on top of the world. We wouldn't even care who you get in the playoffs. You're playing so well. But then you lose three in a row, and I mean, yes, sometimes people can feel like the sky is falling. How do you keep an even keel, and is that difficult sometimes?
It's the same way with it's such a long season. It's going to happen, three, four times, a season is 82 games. And honestly, when I look at it, I scrutinize my little office. You scrutinize the team and you criticize and then you analyze and you're positive and you go through all these phases. But that's all within you, and within your staff and you discuss with coach and for me it happened. Look at Washington, I think they've lost 9 out of 11, Chicago, every team is going to San Antonio going through it like a little bit. Portland went through it. All the good teams are going to go through it at some point, a couple times a season. So when I look at it overall, we're second in the East now, I think, and I think it's going to fluctuate between second and fourth, till the end of the season probably. And I think we're in a position where we have to prepare ourselves now, you know, like we have to start preparing ourselves for this stretch run and hopefully the postseason where you know, we can be ready. But you hope that the team starts doing good things. And I think in February, I think I saw that my guy said we were the analytics guy said we're the fourth or third best team in the NBA and on the defensive end of the court, and which tells me that, you know, like, well, going back to doing some things well defensively, and which is where you want to be.
Masai Ujiri, our guest on Brady and Walker, Golden State in town to play the Raptors tonight. So the trade deadline comes and goes, and I think most people from the outside looking in are fully understanding of you leaving this group together to grow. But was that a concerted effort, Masai? Was there something substantial that you could have done and chose not to?
No, there was none, and we looked at everything that came our way, and there was nothing that really made sense that, you know, we couldn't do in the summer. Nothing that would take us to another level. Now we want to give these guys the opportunity. We want to give these guys the opportunity to play, and I think our team is still like a growing team. Yes, there's a window in the East. We totally understand that, but I think we also deserve to put this team now in a position where they kind of make the decision for us, where we say, you know what, in the summer, this is what we need, and we know we can climb here and have an effect here, or because I think these guys deserve that that opportunity. We are a growing team, and you don't want to do anything that is going to hurt your team, I think, long term. And some of the things that came our way were things that, you know, could hurt us long term, and we didn't feel it was the time to do it.
Masai Ujiri, our guest. Last thing before you go, we get a great matchup. Your fans get a great guard matchup tonight. I want to ask you about the evolution of Steph Curry. You would have seen him out of Davidson leading up to the draft. He was picked two spots before DeMar DeRozan. Tell me about what you thought of him then. And hey, he's blown everybody's brains out the last couple of years with how good he's become. And a lot of people think he's going to be, if not the MVP, right there with LeBron. What have you thought about his evolution for 5 years?
It's unbelievable. He's a fantastic, phenomenal player. You know, like there's some players that it just comes so easy. You know, like it's so natural with him, and the feel is so natural. He's a phenomenal player. Like in the running, I think for the most valuable player of the league this year, and he's grown. You know, like players. You know, when he came into the league in the beginning, you know, people. He was frail a little bit, you know, like, but what an outstanding person too, you know, like family guy, you know, like you can character is impeccable. You can't overlook that too, you know, like, so they have a great program there and a great fan base, you know, like it's a comparison to us in terms of fan base, but their program is way ahead, you know, like they've had these young players that they've allowed to grow over the years, and I remember we used to call it his video game in Denver when he killed us when he killed us in the first round of the playoffs, but and that was them growing and just growing, and so hopefully we challenge them and we get a win tonight, you know, if not on to the next one. We're excited about our team. We're excited about the fans. We're excited about the future, and we can go from there. But Stephen Curry is in the running for MVP of the league.
Yeah, tonight's going to be awfully fun. The whole city's excited about it. Safe travels tonight. You guys are off to the Knicks tomorrow to play New York. So we wish you all the best the rest of the way, and thanks for always making time for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Masai Ujiri, general manager of the Toronto Raptors. GSW against the Raptors tonight. They did lose last night, 110-99 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are now 37-22 and have passed the Bulls, and that
Do they ever dip back below the Bulls is the question.
Do the Raptors dip below the Bulls?
No, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, I know, but do either? Is this a 2-3 race? I think we got to give Atlanta, because Atlanta just hasn't kept up the losing. They're back to consistent winning ways. Atlanta's going to be the one seed, and this is a Cleveland-Toronto two-team fight for the 2 and 3, isn't it?
Lots to get to, and yeah, you really think so. It should be fun tonight. We were at the Golden State game last year, and it was one of the best games of the year. Steph Curry and DeMar DeRozan.
You were great. Also, I had to go, you were a great babysitter for my kids. You're so good with children.
Jamming licorice in my mouth.
My son always says, I offered him half a Kit Kat, and he didn't want. I'm like, that's because you smeared it all over your hands.
Melted his hands.
I know.
Lots to get to. Darcy Tucker will join us, and of course, Elliot Friedman, one of our favorites, joins us. At 8:22 this morning, first, we want to send you to the ACC. We have tickets for March the 19th to give away to you as the Toronto takes on the San Jose Sharks. Name us this mystery player. We've given you clues throughout the morning. Here is your third and final clue and your chance to win. His next fighting major will give him 1,000 NHL penalty minutes. It might even happen this weekend. We will see.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, 23, good morning.
This explains everything, by the way. We just had a visitor. We can say who came in, and he had an opinion on the dress. But this explains everything. Everything.
It doesn't explain anything.
Our program director, Don Collins, very mysterious man, came in, and you said, what color is the dress? And he said, white and gold.
Yeah, thank you.
You people. Honestly. This explains, again, I'm just going to say it explains everything.
823.
Breaking black and blue.
Brady Walker. Darcy Tucker coming up. We'll take your calls on David Clarkson, 416-870-0590. Always great to hear from our listeners. We go to Elliot in Toronto. Elliot, good morning.
Black and blue.
Yeah, black and blue division.
You're insane.
It's the NFC Central. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, Walker. Like, I don't know what your problem is, but that thing is not golden white.
It is so golden white. I got into like a domestic fight, like not in the bad way, but like I got in a big argument last night.
Like, well, my wife was the same way. She saw golden white, and I was like, "What is wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
How can you see that?" But then again, I saw a poll somewhere, and 73% were saying it is white and gold. And I guess that's just the proof that most of the world is completely screwed up.
Wives, though, Elliot. I mean, where I see a pile of unfolded laundry, she sees that. I see a place to lay down. I watch TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, but we can't only blame the wives, because Walker's seeing the same color as they are.
He's been a bit neutered this morning. It's an odd morning for a lot of reasons. But we just had Masai Ujiri on, who's going to the Sloan Analytics Conference. We had Dallas Eakins, who's there. And not one crack from Walker to either man. Hey, are you bringing your pocket protectors? Hey, nerds. We didn't have one of those outbursts this morning. Maybe he's a changed man.
I'm behaving myself.
He's seen the light.
It's because those are influential people, and Walker was not going to mouth off to them.
Yeah, that is true. So,
the callers start on Clarkson, then he'll just destroy them.
That's all it'll take. I know.
Like, you are a connected NHL insider that's in a woodworking
who's
shop.
Who's vacuuming right now.
You know, my wife's just using the blender. I'm just moving away.
You are a connected NHL insider, and even you, this the Clarkson thing must have been just out of left field for you, correct?
Yeah, it was. Like, you know, it's funny. Like, I did a panel in the off-season, or early in the season, with Ned Colletti, the former GM of the Dodgers. I went to Concordia to do something, and he asked me a question. Like, he says, like, you're supposed to be a hockey insider, right? And I was like, yeah, supposed to be. And he said, how much do you really think you know about the sport? Like, about what really goes on? Like, what percentage on a scale of 1 to 100? And I said, probably about 10. And he said, 10? That's, you think you just know 10%? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I think that's a pretty honest answer. And because he thinks that most reporters, even the most connected ones, know probably about that much of what goes on. And I would agree with that. I think that's a very fair answer. That one came, I mean, obviously that one came totally out of the blue last night. I was actually at a Rogers sales event. When I saw it, I almost fell over. The one thing I can say to you is I did chase earlier this year a rumor that Horton's contract was uninsured. I couldn't get any confirmation on it. Obviously, the Blue Jackets kept it a very well-hidden secret.
Now, why would they do that?
Because it puts them in a really tough spot. You know, if you don't want other teams to know, you probably don't want fans to know that you've got this player that is making $5 million a year and you can't do anything in your lineup or roster because you have to pay him and he's never going to play again. I think teams, that's a PR hit for them, number one. And number two, you probably don't want your opponents to know that you're in a bit of a tougher financial situation because you've got this $25 million you've got to pay here for a guy who will never play and is not coming off your books. You're not getting the insurance aid. It really affects your ability to do a lot of things. So I think when I heard this trade was done last night, the first thing that popped into my head was that contract has to be uninsured. And I was kind of mad at myself for not, you know, chasing it harder. But I didn't, upon reflection, I don't know what I could have done.
And weirdly, we're in such a period of rebuild. There's vets going out the door every day with the Maple Leafs, and that may not cease before Monday. That said, they have cap room that I would bet you, Elliot, on July 1st, I don't even know if there's hot debate. There may be a unanimous thought that is saying we don't have to spend this money if we are truly rebuilding. We don't need to go into July 1st and replicate. I don't mean the Clarkson deal replicate, but simply give somebody 5.7 or 5.3 of cap space on July 1 because we feel like it. They don't have to spend this.
Right, and that's the thing that they've done. They've created flexibility. And people rip MLSE all the time and its various owners for not caring about winning and only the bottom line and things. You can't argue with this. Nope. I mean, this is a team that has basically just said, we are going to eat $5 million a year for the next 5 years if we have to. And, you know, people say, oh, it's they make a ton of money, whatever. There's not very many owners who will do this. This is a team that has financial muscle flexing it in one of the only ways you can do it if you have a financial advantage in the cap era. But I agree with you. Why spend the money? Don't do it just for the sake of doing it. It's like the rainy day fund. If let's say next year you have a year like Calgary has this year, where suddenly you have a bit of a surprise and you're making a playoff run and you look at it and you say, okay, we can do something now if we really want to.
Yes.
But other than that, there's no point.
Is there any Leaf left right now that you would give a greater than 50% chance at moving between now and Monday?
I don't know if I would say greater than 50%, but they've obviously made it very... I mean, if they could move Clarkson, I mean, anything could happen. So I think you sit there and you kind of say, hey, guys, it's pretty obvious we're still open for business. What are you thinking about? The one thing I did hear is one team that checked in on Phaneuf said that Toronto is not willing to keep money on him yet. So I think that makes it harder. So the question becomes, are the Maple Leafs willing to change that stance by Monday, or are they going to say, no, this is our policy right now, and if we have to do this with eating money, we'll deal with that in the summer?
Well, I was going to say, with term left, whether it's Lupul or whether it's Phaneuf or whether it's Tyler Bozak, is that one thing the Clarkson deal does? Are they able to do that now, or do you think it's just an organizational philosophy like the Blue Jay 5-year deal kind of thing?
Well, no, I think it's also understanding that you can only do a maximum of three, right, Andrew? You can only have three guys at any one time whose salaries you're eating.
Right, and what do you have? You have Winnick for this year.
And also you have Winnick and...
Gunnarsson.
Okay, and
right.
And two.
Yeah,
because
right.
Fratton is done. Fratton's done. So they have two. And also, you know, if you have to do it for Dion or Kessel, or those are really long-term deals. So why lock yourself up if you don't have to? You wait to make that decision when you absolutely have to.
Some night there will be a Saturday night ceremony that will just feature the dead money Leafs of the 21st century. And it'll be... I mean, I don't know how they'll fit them all on the ice. There's a lot of them. There's been a lot of them since the cap came in.
They can join Silabs as the new statue, stuff like that.
Now, Walker hates this, but I'm going to open up the floor and ask you, is 30th Buffalo won last night and Arizona lost?
Will you stop this? There's
two games left between the Coyotes and Sabres, and I bring this up because the Coyotes are going to trade Vermette.
Yep.
And they could change the game by finally, it's been rumored for 7 years, trading Keith Yandel.
Yep.
I don't think this is over by any stretch. Buffalo may have to match the dumping that Arizona does before Monday.
Well, the joke I heard was when Buffalo made the Evander Kane and Jonas Enroth deals, one GM said to me, oh my goodness, how's Don Maloney going to counter? So, you know, obviously he will. You know, the way this is going, it's certainly possible. It's almost funny. Like I heard an interview with Tim Murray the other day, and he actually used the phrase McEichel, which I thought was hilarious.
It's on a lot of license plates in the upstate New York area.
It's like everybody's ripping the Philadelphia 76ers, and they deserve it because they've done it for too long. I think it's at a point I think all the fans get it for this year, but when you start doing it for 3 and 4 years in a row, it's not acceptable. I don't believe in that. I think it's against what sports should be. But this year, you know what? Everybody understands what's going on, and you kind of laugh at it, and you get it. But if it's something that continues for years at a time, you're going to sit there, and you're going to say, this is an embarrassment.
We talk about Yandel and Vermette, and I can't help myself. I always look at Arizona, and I think, is there just no way that Shane Doan goes anywhere ever? I know
he's been to his ranch.
I know he doesn't want to, but they're in 29th. Would he never consider it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it can change next year, but there's no player in that organization who, you know what, you could argue there's been nobody at all in that organization that has fought harder for that team in Phoenix than Shane Doan has.
Yeah, no, true. Very true.
I mean, he's up there with, like, the commissioner in terms of how hard they've worked and how much they've wanted to keep that team there. I remember a player telling me a couple of years ago, there's only one guy on the team who really is so passionate about it, it's him, and because he loves it there so much. So I think it's going to be, I don't know, like, when he was here a couple weeks ago, he was saying, you know, there's no guarantees. So it doesn't look like it. I think the other thing, too, is he has term left, and teams are not so interested in doing that. When he becomes a pure rental, which is next year, then I could see the possibility.
Right. Well, we've loved our morning chats. Now, the big move for us is important because we're trying to find a way to work around your schedule. So, like, in studio 2 to 3 times a week, I know the commute is a pain in the ass after the show, but still.
Well, don't worry, guys. I'll be there. And this job. It's the best job in the world. But sometimes it kicks all of us in the teeth. And I just wanted to say that you guys have done great work. And it's not a reflection on you. And life will go on, and you two will be just fine.
We'll be happier.
Shut up,
and
Elliot.
Okay, sure. We'll be happier and more well-rested. We know that.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
take
Elliot.
Care. Good luck.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the final morning edition of Brady and Walker. How about that?
How about that? 8:35. Darcy Tucker, one of our biggest listeners, solely responsible for the good ratings in the past.
Yes.
Will join us coming up.
Went from hating the show to loving it, but he never stopped listening. Maybe it's because we added you. I don't know.
Congratulations to Bruno from Woodbridge, by the way. He is going to see
fake
the Leafs
name.
Of the Sharks.
That's such a fake name.
He knew that David Clarkson was our mystery Leaf. Yeah, why not? Darcy Tucker coming up, and we have some news and some words for you for sticking with
happy
us
times.
For all these months. Yeah.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is Brady and Walker. What a weirdo. What a weirdo Greg is. So, it's 8:44. We come back, like, Greg literally 5 seconds ago walked out of the studio to go use the washroom. Like, we're coming, like, we're on the air. Where are you going? I don't know. Maybe it's it. Maybe he's not coming back. I don't know. He's a weirdo. 844, Brady and Walker. Is Darcy there?
Darcy Tucker joins us now on Brady and Walker, one of our favorites. Or I don't know, do we like you more or do you like us more? It's really tough to tell these days.
I'm not sure, but where's Brady?
I don't know. He just walked out. He went to use the washroom, but he doesn't know how this works, I guess.
Or should I say Louise, Thelma and Louise.
So what's the genesis with you and Brady? Like, I get here and we're both Alberta guys. We share some common traits, but you and Brady's had it out for a little while.
We didn't.
I don't really know where this began.
He told me to leave.
Brady's back, by the way.
He told me to leave.
Didn't wash his hands.
He told me to leave Oren McLaren alone, and I have, because I don't see as much of their games anymore because they're in the American Hockey. So I've done that. I've done what everything Darcy's told me to do, I've done. I've been nice to you, Walker. I've treated you like you're an Ontario boy. I really have.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's about time you started listening to me. It took you a while, but
I know.
You're starting to learn.
I am learning. It's a slow process.
So what's with this dress thing? What's your take on it here?
Okay, what's your take? What color do you see?
Well, my daughter told me if you see it black and blue, that you're an angry person. So, and I see it black and blue, so she's not far off.
See, Brady sees it black and blue.
Black and blue guy.
I see it white and gold. It's incredible.
That figures.
Yeah, he's got his Blue Jays glasses on. Everything looks a little brighter.
Right.
It's very, very strange.
Let's just step on a sprinkler, Ed.
Now you've been on Tim and Sid, and they're doing this amazing TV project that's going to start in July. So we hope we'll be able to have you on lots in the afternoon when things happen and there's big news. Yeah, that'll be okay.
Absolutely, I listen in the afternoon too, so you're not leaving me too far. That's for sure.
Okay, so how did you react yesterday? You know, even as an ex-player, what trade deadline time is like. But the one trade you thought I'll never believe it. I don't even believe it when I see it or hear it. Is what happened with David yesterday with Nathan Horton. How'd you first react to it? Did you just stunning stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was driving down to the game. I was doing something down at the Air Canada Center last night when I heard the news, and obviously. You know, it's David coming here was a big thing at the time. You know, Toronto boy coming back home to do well and play for the Leafs. You know, I think it's probably good for him as well. I think getting out of town and going somewhere where he can, make his mark again and do the things that made him successful that he had in Jersey, I think it's a good thing for him.
You might not have an answer for this, but why did it go so south? Like this market. So you come from small town Alberta, like your high school class is you, three other kids, a goat and eight chickens, and you come to Toronto, and you own it. You own the city, you own the spotlight, you own the pressure, and a guy like David Clarkson, who shares similar traits to you in some respect, it's a nightmare. Why?
I don't know. I think being from here and having that pressure of family and such is very difficult. See, I didn't have that. I had the fact I was coming in here and I was just going to do a job, and the team was looking for something at that time that I could provide. And for whatever reason, the fans loved my style of hockey and my game. And, you know, back then it was a lot easier to play that way. It's a little bit more difficult now. And obviously the 10-game suspension got him off on the wrong foot, and it just didn't seem to get it back after that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm hopeful for him to go somewhere where he can provide something to a team and give him an opportunity to revive what I know he can be.
Darcy Tucker, our guest. This team's 1-2 straight. We've debated a few times. Can they get on a little bit of a roll here? Can the fans embrace this? There have been two really entertaining games and home wins in a row with Winnipeg and Philadelphia. They haven't won a road game in forever. Can they just sort of say it's us against the world, and can they play that kind of hockey the next four road games, let's say, starting in Montreal Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes when the pressure's off, it's a lot easier. I think, you know, once the deadline passes and the pressure's a little bit away from the guys, it makes it a little bit easier. You know, but be careful for what you wish for. At this particular point, you know, you don't know what you want. You want the higher draft pick. You want the team to start playing better. It's a hard situation to be in for both the fans and the organization. And, you know, but the players are doing what they can on the ice to be successful. They're all playing for something, and whether that's, you know, a new contract or even a job next year on the hockey club. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what the last bit of the season brings here. But obviously, it's been a little bit better down at the Air Canada Center because I've been down there the last couple of games, and the fans have been into it for sure.
Hey, we really appreciate you. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you real soon, Darcy.
Can't wait, boys. I'll see you in the afternoon soon.
You will. Thanks, Darcy.
This is Brady Walker. He's 849. So, yeah, this is month 18 of our little program here. We've had our ups. We've had a few downs, but we do love working together. And Greg and I won't speak for him. I'll let him say a few words. He's been in this time slot a long time, but we are really proud of everything we've done. We love what we do. And I would tell you this, that, you know, we love you out there listening to us and the feedback and the calls and the texts and all that. I would say this about us and me specifically. We love sports. It's one of the great sports markets in North America. This is what we do. We love it. We finish talking about sports on the air, and when we go home, we flip on the game. You check on the fantasy sports team. You check what bets you've made. You call your friend. You talk about sports. You go to the pub. You talk about sports. It's our life. That's what we do, and we enjoy bringing you that perspective. It is now the worst-kept secret in the country, but yes, our what we think is a very unique brand does get to stay together. We're really happy about it, and we're very happy to announce that Brady and Walker will continue to exist at 1 to 4 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, beginning on March 30th as we take over for the venerable Tim and Sid. So thank you to everybody out there for listening.
Well said. I have sat in this chair in a couple different incarnations, and as Andrew mentioned, for the last 18 months with Andrew here, 49 months in total, and gotten the absolute honor to say I've been a morning host on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. 4 years here and a smattering of weeks in this slot. And when I first started, there was some flux. I didn't know how long it would be for. I'd only been at the radio station for about 5 months, hosting between 12 and 3. I still wasn't sure where everyone's office was. Wasn't sure of the best food at the cafeteria. It's probably the make-your-own-salad with the tuna and the carrots and the mushrooms. Today, those 4 years and a smattering of weeks have come to an end. I've changed shifts before. I hosted three different time slots in Detroit, in another good sports market. I prefer being here. We're in our home country. We're in our home province. And these opportunities in Toronto were worth taking advantage of, worth challenging myself for, and worth moving my family for. I arrived back in my home province in 07. I had an 18-month-old son, a beautiful and brilliant wife who was 4 months pregnant, and we were a little thunderstruck by everything that was happening in Michigan to the economy. And I had to leave those people behind to come here and work in Toronto. And in the subsequent 7.5 years, and certainly in my time at The Fan, my family has been well taken care of, and they've taken care of me and been by my side. This time slot is very much a snapshot of Toronto sports history. We had Elliot Friedman on this morning. He's got a great legacy here. So does Dan Shulman. So does Bob McCown, who's still here. So did the legendary Pat Morrison, the wildly talented John Derringer. And Foster Hewitt started this radio station back in the 60s. My grandfather, who my dad's dad, who never got to see me, he died the year I got a full-time job for the first time in Windsor. He would have gotten a real kick out of me being at a station that Foster Hewitt started, because he loved Foster Hewitt. I want to take the time to thank the listeners and the people that have reached out in the last several weeks. Out of the business, some of them in the business, some of them in this building, some of them in other buildings, to tell us what they feel about what I've done, what Andrew has done. Andrew's right. We've found something that clicks. We fought really hard, I think, to work together, and we're going to get to keep doing it. But I want to take, again, the time to thank people, and you don't, we're not really saying goodbye usually in radio. And I understand why this is. Your last show is your last show. And with this exciting TV project for our colleagues, Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sixera, we're very proud of them. Management had to consider all the options. A slot was opening, talent was leaving, and other talented people want an opportunity to begin a new chapter in their career. It does come back to you, the listeners. Many of you text in, call in, send tweets. Very few have sent letters in white envelopes with anthrax, and we appreciate that. I'm no different than you are at your jobs. I see you at baseball games, and we talk hockey games, Home Depot, Sobeys, wherever. And you tell me your sports opinions, and you tell me about your kids' sports and how long your commute is. So you go from Newmarket to downtown, or Barrie to Brampton, or Oshawa to Etobicoke. And Andrew and I both marvel at things you remember we said. It's usually the wrong things. I don't know why you don't never remember when we say something right. We owe you that. We owe you opinions, some element of insight, but we owe you hard work. You pay us a tremendous compliment with loyalty to this station and this show and your humor and at times your anger. But we haven't bored each other over the last 4 years, and we're not going to start. We really care about this show. We care about this product. We care about this radio station and our interaction with the listener. We worked in mornings for 18 months. We would have kept doing mornings if they'd asked us, but we're equally excited to be on at 1 p.m. We know that doesn't suit the needs and listening desires of everybody out there. Some of you won't be able to listen as often. I hope you can podcast. Stay with us via social media. Our show might even improve to some of you. We'll be able to stretch out segments, do things a little bit differently than we've done it. This show grew a support base. I get that it's kind of a cool old school thing to rip management for this, rip management for that. It's not how we feel. It's not in our playbook. We have smart bosses. Andrew and I wouldn't do much differently over the last 18 months. And we never finished a week and ever thought we didn't give good effort or that we didn't have a connection with our audience. And now at nighttime, we can not barricade ourselves in front of the computer or TV at 9 o'clock. Sometimes I had to ignore the wonderful family I live with at night. Now I can prep in the morning while my wife's working, the kids are at school. But the show was supported. And I can honestly say that's entirely due to the audience, giving it a chance to grow, a chance to become habit, a chance to give us wonderful existences, 4-hour sleeps aside during the NHL playoffs. If the show was good for you, we can equally tell you it was fantastic for us. So it's easy to feel great about the radio did. We want to thank our former producer, Ryan Favreau. He was critical in getting this ball across the finish line, and we got it there. Ryan has produced me for the better part of the 5 years I've been here. He'll stay with the new show Monday. We can't not root for him. We hope it goes great. Jeff Azzopardi is our new producer. Lance Kennedy, our new technical director. We can't wait to dive in deeply with those gentlemen. This is the first show in 18 years of radio that we felt we had to spend a lot of time on a goodbye, and it's not even a real radio goodbye. I'm told we'll speak to you in the form of Brady and Walker Monday, March 30th. Tim and Sid will do all of March, and Andrew and I will get to host our show at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 360 nationwide and on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Andrew is with Jeff Blair on Monday for trade deadline talk. It's been an honor to lead into Jeff's show for 4+ years now. Jeff has the same fire, same drive, same passion for sports that Andrew and I do. A little more French soccer appetite. But he's been a colleague of Mrs. Brady and remains one of mine. Both Bradys are pretty proud of that. Thank you very, very much. We're also really excited to lead into primetime sports. I've mentioned before, I'm taking a little bit too long. There's a generation gap in this business at times, but I have a great affection for Bob McCown. I've followed his career from being a kid. And for all the trails he's blazed in this business, in this country, for knocking down walls that weren't supposed to be knocked down or that we didn't even think we were allowed to knock down in this business, we all should be grateful, and we'll be honored once again to lead into his legendary show with the legendary and at times cynical, sometimes crabby host. But we love Bob. Brady and Walker will come on to your way next Monday, March 30th at 1 p.m. Enjoy your break from us. We'll get refreshed, charge it up, and we'll have a dynamite first show in 31 days. Thank you.